kind of arrogant fucks just set up a Patreon when they have 12 listeners? These kind right here. Hi. Now, just to reassure you, our regular popular Parallax will always be free of charge, and we're very happy to make it free and commercial free as well, except for our own plugs, which I will put in endlessly. These are bonus episodes, and I want to point out, they're not just cuttings from our regular show. They're full bonus episodes that we've made specially for you. They'll be coming out a little more regularly than our once-a-month podcast, and they'll be set up on Patreon. And that's when you just go to patreon.com/popularparallax, or you can go to popularparallax.wordpress.com, and from there you can hit Patreon, check out our plus size podcast.
And give us all your money.
Mom?
Mom?
This time on the Popular Parallax, our favorite sci-fi couples. Hi, I'm Jerrica Lala, and with me, treat him like a lady, and he'll always bring you home. It's Captain Nancy. Hey, Nance.
Hey, Jerrica.
How's it going?
Oh, fabulous. Happy February.
Thanks. Happy early Valentine's
Day. Happy early Valentine's Day.
Are you getting all your Valentines ready?
Absolutely not.
To send out?
No.
What?
No.
You're a Valentine atheist?
I do not subscribe to that heteronormative capitalist bullshit.
Such an idiot.
It's a time when consumerism goes, okay, and we hope you've crawled your way out of the crushing debt from the holidays just in time to give us more of your money because we had to create a holiday because January is a rough season for retail.
You always like to be a real op at the beginning of an episode. I love that about you. Like, welcome to our Valentine's
Start
Day episode. You're like, this is bullshit.
Fuck. I like Valentine's Day enough because it's a nice reason for my partner and I to check in and have some nice romantic time because,
so
you know,
you do celebrate Valentine's Day.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we just like give each other a card,
a heart-shaped pancake,
and a blowjob. That's about
it. That was enough.
You asked. Actually, no, you didn't. You didn't at all.
Nobody
asked for that.
Nobody asked. But they're interesting, you know, penile origami shapes that could represent that holiday.
Yeah, we combine our penises with performing. We do puppetry.
Puppetry
of the penis. Yeah,
that
show?
That was you.
That was me. Yeah, it was
How
my one man.
How could anybody forget that show?
Yeah, you're welcome.
That was a lot. Nobody wanted to see anything like that stretch.
Oh, you read my reviews. Yeah.
Yeah. So, climbing once again out of a hole of filth, I will introduce our first fave sci-fi couple, who were pretty heteronormative, but they were progressive. And
they're in space. They have to be.
One of my favorite shows, Next Generation. Is it Troy and Riker? Fuck it is. It's Crusher and Picard.
As a physician, it's often my job to give people unpleasant news. To tell them that they need surgery or that they can't have children. Or that they might be facing a difficult illness.
But you said yourself that this is only a possibility.
But you've been to the future. You know it's going to happen.
I prefer to look on the future as something which is not written in stone. A lot of things can happen in 25 years.
The weird on-again, off-again kind of never happened, but kind of did happen. Romance that kept me guessing year after year, episode after episode. Will they? Won't they? What the hell is going on? Fan fiction heaven.
Did you ever write fan fiction, Picard Crusher fan fiction?
No, I've never written any fan fiction.
Haven't you?
No, never. And that honest to beat, I've never... I didn't really even understand what fan fiction was till I was, like, in university.
That's
and
fair.
Then I started reading, and I couldn't believe anyone would even bother to do that. But they do.
En masse do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I just thought, this writing's never going to go anywhere because these characters are copyrighted. So it's not like it can progress Even, because I mean, some people write that and it's not even that slashy.
No.
It's just purely, it's like a spec script that's not that good. And you're truly, just like, what? Yeah. But you can't, but maybe they do. Maybe they think they're going to write, because I mean, there's a million Star Trek novels. Maybe they think they're going to write one. But fair
someone
enough.
Will, yeah, someone will see it, get picked up.
Yeah.
Get
isn't Twilight just, oh no.
Fifty Shades of Grey.
50 Shades is like Twilight fan fiction. But, yeah. And I mean, I know it's bad, but she made a lot of money.
Oh, fuck.
So
God,
there you go. Maybe that's
pretty.
The dream of every sixth grade level fan fiction writer.
I also just want to quickly point out a nice generational gap between Jerrica and I. When she first brought up The Next Generation, I said, Degrassi? And
I wasn't
going to
mention that story because I've told it in public and it did not go down well with Nancy. When I did that, I'd be like, wait, let me tell you what he said. And he's like, shut the fuck up. Shut. But then I would say,
listen, those fucked up kids were a big part of my upbringing, okay?
Oh my God. Yeah,
they
I was like,
informed
I was,
many of my fears.
I just thought he was enough. I was like, oh, you know that actor? He was on TNG in this one episode. And you're like,
Drank? Was it Drank?
Do you mean to? And I was like, you know, he was a time traveler. And you were like, what? You mean Degrassi? And I was like, please leave this apartment.
Oh, we're not friends anymore. That's what that is.
I couldn't believe what had just happened.
Yeah.
I'm actually still a little damaged. Because you just talked
well,
about
me too.
It.
Degrassi
saw,
damaged
like,
me too.
I saw like bright light in front of my eyes.
And then when she said, okay, there's for our next episode, there's these couple episodes I want you to watch. It's called The Best of Both Worlds. And immediately my mind went to the Lizzie McGuire movie. The song she sings
No.
in the Lizzie McGuire movie called It's the Best.
You better fucking watch those episodes, Nancy.
I did.
Everybody calm down.
And then
everybody calm down.
The Lizzie McGuire movie and I had a really good time. I did not. It's a terrible
Why
movie.
Didn't she ever win an Emmy? So Picard and Crusher, something very much like the series that was started off embarrassingly sloppily by the first season writers.
Okay.
The first time they sort of, you know, Picard had worked with Crusher's husband and the husband died under his command.
Oh,
so that
okay.
was the backstory to that.
Didn't happen on the show. That's
didn't happen on the show. Okay. So when they first meet in the first series, they haven't seen each other for many years and it was under sort of a sad circumstance.
Sure.
Picard always carries like a guilt factor. For like,
I ruined
this woman's life and the son as well, who, you know, sure the kid's annoying, but you killed his dad. So, you know, but they did an episode. Now, the first season, highly questionable.
Okay.
Kind of surprising it got renewed.
Okay.
And because it was very like the old show. It was super cheesy, kind of sexist. Mm. It didn't, you know, and it was because it was all the old guys writing it. And
okay,
then suddenly
right.
as it got to two, then you get to three, and then shit starts to get really good and continued to get good. But in season one, there's a show called The Naked Now, which is a direct ripoff of the original series, The Naked Time. Where they all sort of lose their minds and go crazy and they get kind of horny and stuff. And they did a scene with her and him in his like ready room where nothing happened, but it was really klutzy and she kind of throws herself at him and it's super gross.
Okay.
And it was played for laughs. Like, it, sure. And it was, they did their best, but it was very clumsy for writing. Like, it was just like, does everybody get it? There's sexual tension. It was like, oh my God, this is bad. But interestingly, the way it developed over the seasons, by the last season you have a show like Attached where they're psychically attached because they're prisoners. Mm-hmm. Then she sort of realizes that he has been in love with her all this time, and again there's this crushing repressive guilt. Mm-hmm. On top of that, and by the end of that show they decide they're not going to do anything, they're not going to pursue it. Mm. And then in the series finale, which is still the best series finale I've ever seen for any show, because they stopped it before the show got bad. That's what you gotta do.
That's the trick. That's the key.
In the All Good Things finale, when you go into Picard's future and you see him as a sort of a doddering old man, and God knows Patrick Stewart can kill, like, he was mm-hmm. killing it.
Oh, sure.
You find out that they were married and then divorced. So that was a really interesting
wow.
twist as well.
It didn't end up happily ever after?
Well, it was a theoretical future because things ended up changing, but I don't think they probably would have been married at all after that.
Yeah.
Because they both ended up... He shared what he saw with the rest of the crew. He didn't keep it a secret because I think he realized the timelines were already changed enough that that shit wasn't really going to happen that way.
Okay.
Like, he was seeing sort of a projected future.
Right.
Sounds super nerdy, and it was, but what a double episode to finish with, and it all centered on Picard, which the whole show did. So yeah. It was perfect, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody else was a support for him. And there were some good supports, like, you know, Brent Spiner was great.
Who did he play?
He played Data.
Oh, he's great.
He's great. Yeah. Most of them were good to great. Mm-hmm. But the cast, even because you have people like Riker who started off real bad and real goofy. Mm. But by, like, the third and fourth season, they started going, okay. They started to get a grip. Like, they gave him his own shows where he actually solved stuff, so he wasn't such a fucking clown. They gave him sort of a different kind of intelligence, but he had some intelligence instead of just being this goof. Jock, who you're supposed to believe that Picard has, like, a chemistry with. Mm. And they always did have a pretty good chemistry, but the character was too dumb. They wanted to make him sort of goofy, like a mirror to Picard in a way, but it was too much.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And what they started doing was loosening both the characters. Like, they made Picard not such a stiff shirt.
Right.
And at the same time, they made Riker a little more to be taken seriously. So they really started to tone up.
Okay,
And, you know, Frakes, the guy that plays Riker, he wasn't the greatest actor, but he was a great director and directed several of their films and many of the episodes. So I dig him.
Yeah.
And I can forgive his sometimes he's a little shaky, but they sort of made the character like him, and the more they did that, the better it got. You know
Fair
what I mean?
Enough.
Like, just write it to be like him.
Yeah.
And then it's fine, right?
Yeah.
I was always, after that first really rocky start, I was always fascinated by that relationship because of the subtlety of it. Because it wasn't just like, oh my God, they have sexual tension. It was just this like, it's almost like a person you've been married to for like 40 years. Like, there's always somebody they can fall back on. There's always somebody they can talk to, even though they're not necessarily romantically involved.
Just that shared history, even.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they played that really well.
Well, and that's always better than just trying to force a romantic plot line on two characters, is when you build it from something.
And then McFadden, it works so much the woman playing Crusher, now, this is going to be controversial because I know a lot of people. I think she was very good as the doctor. I don't think she's a great actress.
Hmm.
She's a choreographer.
Oh, okay.
She choreographed Labyrinth.
Hey now.
Girl. It was one of those, like, you got the right part for you, because they did try to cut her. In season two, you'll notice there's a different doctor on the show. Different female doctor who didn't go down very well, even though she's a great actress, but the character did not go down very well. She was a little too grumpy and a little too mean. They tried to sort of, I think they were trying to make her like Bones.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't quite work.
Sure.
And then in season three, rather than going for a third doctor, they brought her back. So she got real lucky. Real lucky, because I think they were trying to cut her right out of the show.
Sure, sure, sure.
And she does come off weak in the first season, but a lot of people do, because the writing is not up to snuff. It's cheesy. It's dumb. You know what I mean? It is like that. And I mean, I'm not trying to shit on the 60s series. It's fun now to watch, but you can't do that again way later.
No.
And have it still, you know,
20 years later.
Exactly.
30, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
even
yeah.
if you watch some of the first seasons, like, Picard's a real stuffed shirt. Like, they tried to make him like this, like, oh, I don't like children. I don't like this. And he's just like, you're like, what the? And I mean, Stewart kind of gets away with it, and you still see a likable side, because the actor that he is, he's just like, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah.
But some of them were not equipped for that. And they're just like, I don't know what to do with these weird, cheesy lines.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's this weird. And because, I mean, at that point, sci-fi was not that cool on TV. Like, it was gone.
Right.
It was gone. And
yeah,
they were like, we're going to reboot Star Trek. And everybody was like, oh, okay. And you imagine it was still Star Trek. Like, it was the old show.
Yeah.
And then it started, as those guys retired or were phased out.
Right.
Then you got a woman producer in there. And then the woman weren't wearing little skorts anymore. They were wearing fucking uniforms. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really see the difference when some women start stepping in, and even younger male writers.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, now we've got a new show.
The new school of kind of thought here. An interesting thing that I read was that they came up with the idea of the Borg in the first season.
Yes.
And they wanted to really pursue it, but some producers thought it was too grim.
Right. They do hint at it at the end of the first season, though.
That's what I read.
They run into some Romulans, and the Romulans are like, you destroyed this planet. And they're like, we didn't destroy any planet. You destroyed this outpost. And they're like, we didn't destroy any outpost. So there's sort of that kind of thing going on.
Okay.
So they just leave it in the air. And then in season two, then they started it.
They really start coming back.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's good,
it's
right?
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, the ones you watch, that best of both worlds, because yeah. that's the end of season three, beginning of season four. So in season two, they had one episode where they were forced further into deep space than they should have ever gone, and the Borg noticed them. Oh, there they are, and they start attacking them, and then they get out of it. But even at the end of that episode, and it's done a little cheap. You can tell the Borg are a little cheaper than they are, certainly than they are in the feature films and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But Picard says at the end, oh, they're going to be coming for us.
That's cool.
And it says, oh yeah, you can bet on it. Like, once they've got your scent, they're going to find you. So then we get to season three, and they start going, oh, here are these outposts that have been just scooped out of the ground. And I mean, how great is that Shelby character?
She is.
I loved her, because Riker got on my nerves, and she's just like, listen, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like hanging over like the big clumsy giant that he is, and she's like, you better step out of the way, slowpoke. He's a fucking idiot.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, he's like, what?
I'm the first officer. And she's like, yeah, we'll fucking see about that.
It's no wonder somebody like you stands in the shadow of a great man for so long. And I'm like, boom! I wish that had brought Elizabeth Dennehy back.
She was only in those two episodes.
She was only in those episodes.
Yeah, she was great.
I might have brought her back for the feature film.
Sure.
But I don't think she was enough of a star. She's not a star.
No, yeah.
She's just
Brian
Dennehy's daughter. You know what I mean? Like,
she really?
I don't know what else she's in. Cool. She's probably on a couple soap operas or something, but she was not some star.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how good an actor she is, or if it was just like, for that, you're perfect.
Yeah.
But she really worked. The shock when they go over to that ship and see him, I'll never forget that.
And it's because it's Crusher who sees him first. Yeah. And it really was this, like, it's like a 2 second moment, but she just says his name, and it's weighted. There's a lot
but
there.
I mean, because this was back before the internet, before you knew every fucking thing that was gonna happen, and people they were just like because the end of that episode, like that cliffhanger, oh my god. Because people were like, he's leaving the show. They're going to kill him off the show.
Sure.
Because there was all, like, I remember in TV Guide.
Fire.
Remember TV Guide? Oh, they were like, he hasn't renewed his contract. Like, it's going to be Riker and this woman. That's why they brought this woman onto the show.
Right.
That's what it's going to be. And I was like, that's nice, but I think without Patrick Stewart, this show is going to flop. I really do. Like, I mean, no disrespect to the other actors, but he held the shit together. He really did. Like, the show was all about him.
Yeah.
And the other people were great, but in his reflection, they were great. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
A character that was so unstable, like the Deanna Troi character, where you're like, what's your job? Like, what the fuck? She's there to be this exotic, sexy lady.
Yeah.
And the only reason I gave her some respect was because Picard respected her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the kind of shit he laid down on the show. If he thought something was legit, you went with it.
Sure.
As the captain or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he really held it together, and I just thought, they cannot renew. And of course they didn't. They knew. TNG, I could talk about TNG for a while, but we won't. But that's one of my favorite pairings on TV, just because of the subtlety and the mystery and the great twist they did near the end of the series with it. And I'm also really glad they ended the show as well as they did and didn't let it go into 15 years of madness.
Yeah, because that can just kill a show entirely, even if it has, like...
Yeah, instead of doing terrible extra years, they did terrible spin-offs, but
that's a whole other
episode.
Can't win them all, but, you know, they won that battle, didn't win...
Yeah.
Maybe the war, still going on.
Fought the Borg with this coffee. That's right.
What?
I talk like Catherine Hepburn, and I'm in charge of this ship. Now get me a coffee. That's my Janeway impression. It's really good. You can't tell?
No, you nailed it.
Can't tell
I
who it is.
Knew. I know. I knew.
You like this coffee? I beat the Borg with it. That's what she'd say. She wasn't arrogant. She was my kind of girl.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You didn't watch any Voyager?
You know who I did love is Whoopi on those two episodes.
Voyager was another series.
Right.
A ship with a woman captain.
Right. Cool, okay.
Which is great.
That's great. But she's...
I like that also there's a new series now, Discovery, that I have not watched one bit because I can't get it. I don't know where it is online. I don't understand who is running it.
On...
I don't know, but there's a woman there too.
Great.
Because I love they did woman on DS9, they did a black man, and then they did Enterprise and decided to really keep it safe again with a white male. Scott Bakula, don't do it.
Oh.
He's not a captain. Turns out he's not a captain. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit. He'd rather eat a sandwich.
Scott Bakula, what a choice.
Yeah, what a choice. They made many poor choices, but this was a good choice. And now, on to our next favorite sci-fi couple.
And what precisely am I supposed to know?
Come on. You want me to stay because of the way you feel about me?
Yes. You're a great help to us. You're a natural leader.
No. That's not it. Come on. Come on.
You're imagining things.
Am I? Then why are you following me? Fredo's gonna leave without giving you a goodbye kiss?
I just assumed he's a Wookiee.
I can arrange that. You can use a good kiss.
My all-time favorite couples on film, Miss Leia Organa and Mr. Han Solo. And it's...
You mean princess.
Princess? I'm so,
Senator,
so sorry.
General.
Her highness. Yeah. Her holiness. Her worshipness.
You call
as
her
Han
miss,
calls
she's
her.
Gonna fire blast you in the shoulder.
Right. It's yeah. your highness first and then ma'am, I think, is what I've learned from The Crown. Mm-hmm. Which I think also applies in space monarchy. What I love about this relationship is that it kind of flips the gender roles that you expect on its head, because Han, here you've got Han, who is this emotionally inept, just...
Popper.
But it's that, like, Leia is in control, she knows what she wants, she's going for it, she's an independent woman, she don't need no man, and then you've got Han, who's really, like, there's this moment in The Empire Strikes Back where they're at the rebel base on Hoth, and he comes up and he says, well, I guess it's time for me to go.
She's like, bye.
And she's like, yeah, I guess it is. He's like, well, don't get all mushy about it. Bye. And he storms off. And it's like, and then he's like, you don't want to admit your feelings about me. And she's like, what? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you don't like me. And she's like, oh,
God. Like, you're spitting toxic masculinity all over.
Chill, honey. Yeah. And it's so, they instantly don't like each other, which is, often a common recipe for these romantic couples. But they really just earn each other's respect throughout the first movie and a half. Like, you really do see, they have to, like, work hard to keep that animosity there. It's like, oh, you saved us all, Leia. And we ended up in a garbage compact, but you fucking got us out of here. Yeah. God damn it.
And the ship where they land inside the planet and all those big suckers come all over the ship. I think that's the only time Leia screams in the whole, the movies.
I think
she's
you're
like,
right.
Ah! Yeah. This snot ray, hits her in the window.
It's just right on the windshield. Yeah.
And she reacts that way, but they're all sort of like, oh, what the hell? Like, even Han is like, Jesus Christ.
Fuck! These pterodactyl bats.
He's like, why are they in this cave? This isn't a cave. And they're in, like, a monster.
It's a tremor. It's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's like a mini Sarlacc monster. Yeah. And I find they do kind of set up a relationship between, like, you assume Luke and Leia are going to get together.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
And then Han and Leia almost have the more, like, brother-sister relationship. But also, Luke he's an emotional wreck as well. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. He's got all these feelings, and he
seems sort of asexual to me.
Yeah.
Is that unfair?
Yeah. No.
I think it's because the Jedi have this weird monk vibe.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, Anakin.
Yeah, but
he
was way off the track, right? And I don't even know if they're supposed to. Everybody's probably screaming at me right now. The thing, I don't know if they're supposed to be like monks, like, or if they can have like wives or husbands or whatever. But Luke, I knew Luke was going to end up alone. Let's put it that way. Like, I was just like,
you're good by yourself.
Well, he was just this special flower. You know what I mean? That you couldn't really pair up.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to make any sense.
Leia really does save the day most often, especially in A New Hope. Like, she's really the one who's like, fuck, boys, like, come on.
Yeah.
Get your fucking shit together. And just like...
Well, I think she's really the only one with real military experience. Like, I mean, even Han knows how to get away from ships and stuff.
They're both just
not
pilots,
formally
really.
Trained.
Yeah.
And she is the leader of, like, an alliance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I guess I am a little bit confused about her official role and title, Is it more of, is she a fighting princess? Which is really cool. I think
she is, because her quote, royalty is from those adopted parents who were also part of the rebellion and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So she is a function. She's not just a flag or whatever.
She's
a functional member of this group.
Yeah.
And she's definitely in charge of that ship at the beginning of the trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
So then it's when Han and Leia are alone in Empire Strikes Back. that in the asteroid, that's when things really start
to heat up.
Heating. We end up having a bit of alone time on the ship.
Yep. You just had one chance for that until you get to Lando's house, and then all the shit goes bad again.
Yeah. Then it goes bad. But when Harrison Ford has this moment where she's like, "Oh, something, you know, you're acting like a scoundrel," and he says, "Scoundrel." I like that. And it's just so fucking charming. And I just melt.
Yeah, good thing it's like, him. Otherwise, you'd want to punch the guy in the face. But he gets away with it.
No,
because he's Indiana Jones. Harrison, I mean, Han Solo. Like, I mean, he's all those people.
He's in every franchise.
Who is all Harrison Ford.
Yeah, all Harrison Ford.
Harrison.
Yeah, but he brings such, like, charm to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so does she. Like, just those, like, sly looks that she gives them both, mm-hmm. like, the end of A New Hope. And mm-hmm. she's got just these great one-liners that just cut him down to size.
Yeah.
And they end up having this really lovely relationship where they save each other and they end up working really yeah. well together.
I think in those movies too, I always found she had such a lovely voice. Then in the new movie, she's a little reedy when she has to shout orders and stuff, because those vocal cords have taken a lot.
Well, even in the progression of the three movies, you like her voice lowers quite a bit.
Yeah.
And by the end of
it's low, but it's also she's raspy.
Well, that's what I meant. Like it's
low will do that. I love you, Carrie.
Love you, girl.
It's a lot of drinking and a lot of blow.
Yes. Yeah.
And that sort of shaved them back a little. She did very, very well.
Very well
in the new ones.
She had a bit of. Again, love you, girl. New Hope took a couple scenes to really find her groove. Like, she
didn't know what the fuck was going on.
None of them did. She had a British accent for this one scene, which was fine.
Yeah. But Lucas, why are you not, like, all he has to do is, like, can you drop that?
Yeah.
And he's not.
He's just worried about her. He's
not paying fucking attention. He's looking at the lights. He's looking at his laser guns.
If she should wear a bra or not.
Jesus Christ.
Like, from her writings, you know, it really does reveal that that's really not what he was focused on, was the performance.
No, not everything. At all.
But then by the time that we get into Empire and Jedi.
Yeah, because you've got better directors.
Yeah.
Spend a few minutes with Alec Guinness. That'll straighten you out.
Yes, and it did.
It did.
Yeah, yeah. His best scenes are really...
Calm down. Yeah.
Well, let's just talk to each other.
Yeah.
And then
I was going to go into town for some new power converters. I'm like, wow, that note's going right to my frontal lobe, Mark. Let's tone it back. Bring some blue milk and calm down.
Yeah.
Uncle Owen and Maru. I was like, oh my God, you're a grown man. Like, I mean, he's a young man.
But he's
were you homeschooled? I think you were.
Not a lot of social interaction, no. I can tell. Yeah. Yeah, I spent a lot of time with droids. I can tell. Their first kiss scene on the ship.
Yes.
It's what I didn't realize until I rewatched it. It is so Romeo and Juliet. It's because they've got that. What do let lips do what hands do, that whole thing. And then
in
West Side Story, she's like, my hands are cold. He's like, yours too. And then in this one, she's like, my hands are dirty. And I'm like, that's what you need. You just need something wrong with your hands and you're going to get your first kiss. So anyone out there who's still waiting, just, I don't know, chop off a finger. And my hands are bleeding. Then you never know who you're going to meet.
It's true.
And it is very... Romeo and Juliet on an asteroid, Space Side Story. Yeah. It's
I like nice men.
I like nice men.
I am nice men. Harrison.
So then they have this great relationship. She saves him from the carbon freezing.
She does not. Oh, well, yes, she gets him
frees
out of
him.
It.
Everything goes sideways.
Yeah.
They almost die. And then Luke really saves.
Yes,
saves
he does. But she gets to kill Jabba, which is always fun for me to watch.
Oh, yeah. She's really just straining on those chains.
Yeah.
They both have their mutual, I love you, I know. It is a lot more, I mean, when...
Well, because it's like, you have to write in a love story to this thing that, like, little boys love, and, like, now little kids love. It's not, you can't make it too, you don't want the kids to go like, ew, and you can't make it graphic. Mm-hmm. You can't do much.
Well, Harrison...
So you've got to get it in, like, almost like a little joke.
Yeah.
But get it in so it's sincere, but you can't linger on it.
No. And Harrison made that line up. He was the one who brought that line to the
Well, then they shot it over and over, and he just kept saying, just say whatever you want, just say whatever you want. He finally said that.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
And then we get The Force Awakens, and we get to see
Leia and Han. Yes, and I mean, are we surprised it didn't really work out?
No.
I wasn't that surprised.
No, yeah. But it was, you can
mostly
still tell.
Over the crazy kid, right?
That'll do it.
Yeah,
fucking
that'll do
hell.
It. We need to talk about Kylo. That adds some tension to the family, for
Jesus, sure. Jesus, yeah. These two heroes. in the Jedi Rebellion.
Yeah, and the kid has this like nobility Jedi. I mean, you have to know something's gonna go wrong.
I will finish what you started.
Like, talk normal. What's wrong with you?
I did love that in The Last Jedi.
Grandfather.
When he's like, take that fucking thing off your goddamn face.
Oh, that
face.
Was
you,
so
You look like an idiot.
Funny.
You look like an asshole.
That was so,
so
funny.
So good.
And he did. He never wore it again. Oh. He smashed the shit out of it because that's what he does.
Yeah.
He's just like, ah! He's not like, I'm going to reflect on this. Maybe he's
weak,
right. Instead,
weak.
He like smashes
ah.
it. They really let Han come off well in the first one, and he's gone. And I'm sure Harrison
was
thrilled
so
because I think he wanted him gone years ago.
Well, I don't think he would have stuck around.
Oh, God.
Probably for more than one.
He wanted them to kill him in Return of the Jedi.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, look, he's got no family. He's the one that should go.
Wow.
Just get rid of him. The other two have something to live for and all that kind of stuff. And of course, Lucas is like, no, we're going to save you and put teddy bears in it. And he was like, oh, my God. Okay.
Cool. 20 minutes
and
of
so
teddy
I
bears.
Think,
in space.
I think the only way they could get him to come back was to say, come back for this one and we're going to finish him. And
yeah.
He was like, okay.
Yeah.
And he did. And it was great. I mean,
he was the comic relief.
He was, and he really captured the character again as an older guy. He was even crankier.
Yeah.
He was even weirder. It was believable.
His interactions with Chewie were so on point.
Good.
They were just.
Yeah.
It was just a callback to all of those. Oh, you're cold.
Yeah.
So just the exasperation mixed with.
He really recaptured it.
Ugh.
And then she got a lot in The Last Jedi. I mean, she got some in the first one,
but
she got a lot more.
Not a ton,
but it was nice to see her.
Yeah.
And then in The Last Jedi, they let her sort of be.
But I wonder if they did map
central.
Out, like, you know, in the first one, we're going to have Han go. The second one, Luke's going to go. The third one.
I'm sure
maybe
that's.
Gonna
I'm
be
sure
Leia's
that's
time.
What they
Or
were
she'll
do.
Survive.
Or,
who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But I mean, she's been set up to be like the sole survivor.
Yeah.
And now they're in a real pickle. So I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know.
I did love the bit that you saw of their relationship as well in the Force Awakens.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
And there's that hug that they have where like she just rests her head on his chest and it's all throughout
because she's a midget.
The original three. It's just,
It's really nice.
It is. It's just a really nice, and there's respectful, just like, there's no toxic aspect their like they
I feel like that's all gone.
There's so much love, and even if they're not together, like you just still see that.
Changed your hair, same jacket.
He's just so handsome. You don't see it? The end in his little vest and his holster and his pants and his knee-high boots. I'm like, I gotta get me some of those. Start walking around Toronto.
I think I always
like
thought he was hotter as Indy. Than is Han.
Oh, well, he's got the open chest.
Exactly.
And he's got the hat and the whip.
Yeah.
Honey.
Yeah.
That's it. A little bit of Catwoman in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm just drooling over all the Star Wars men over here. Jack is just trying to mop up.
I'm just like, oh.
Why is
happened?
It wet? Oh, John Boyega. Oh, my God. I won't.
Is he? Which one is he?
Who? John Boyega? He's Finn.
Yeah, he's super cute. I think all the new guys are cute. The other guy
Oscar
is cute.
Isaac is
he's
Poe,
cute
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
But not as cute as Benicio del Toro.
Okay, yeah.
He's super hot.
Here's where we differ.
I love him.
Stutters way into your heart.
Yeah, it's bad when you fall in love with him watching Fear and Loathing.
Oh,
because
sure.
he's a big fat monster and you're like, this guy's got it going on. He is so terrifying in that movie. I got a whole like level of respect that wasn't there. I was like,
really, yeah.
Who else could have played this to the level of terror that you need to play this maniac? Total out of control maniac. But he has that same edge even in this, even though he looks like a regular human being. But you're just like, yikes.
He's so good.
I love that guy. That was like the little Easter egg in the movie because I had no idea that he was in it.
Just a little treat. No,
I had no idea he was in it.
Yeah.
And there he was. I was like, oh my God. Thank you, baby Jesus, for this Christmas present. It's really good.
God bless the women of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And those hunky honeys.
And then the window dressing.
Yeah, and all the men in the prequels were garbage because they are garbage.
Come on. They were pretty garbagey.
That's what I mean.
I thought Liam Neeson was pretty hot. But he was taking a nap.
Yeah.
He was taking a dirt nap.
And that hair.
The hair was very Thorish. Yeah. It was like this goat hair wig. Yeah. But
yeah. Darth Maul with this kind of horns
on
his head.
He has a structure, a facial structure that is very handsome.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Right?
So does Ewan McGregor.
Even if you give him a weird girl ponytail on top of his head,
yeah.
He pulled it off.
Yeah, little party pony.
He's like, now I'm going to test your blood sugar so we can see if you're a Jedi. And he was like, do I have to do this? And they were like, yes. This is how you tell who's a Jedi. It's called a midichlorian. You do a blood test. If their blood sugar is over 5, they're a Jedi. I have to say, I love how these movies are just like, pretend none of that happened. Like, yeah. It is not subtle. Like, they had to go back and re-explain what the Force was, and mm-hmm. none of that bullshit was in there, was it?
Nope. It's my favorite sci-fi couple.
That's very interesting. That is a good couple. That's an iconic couple.
Iconic.
Yeah, that couple. Is like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Romeo and Juliet don't hate each other at the beginning.
Well, and they don't really live.
Well, no, they do hate each other because they don't know each other. And then they get to know each other. Oh my God, it's Romeo and Juliet in space. I'm freaking out.
Ew.
Sorry for that. Sorry for all that. Now I'm just thinking of like a West Side Story, Star Wars mashup. What can I do? How do I get the rights? How do I produce this?
Yeah.
There's a place for us together.
Sounds terrible.
Somewhere.
No.
But what if he's right? Metzger said that I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between a hallucination and reality. And me, I saw the guy from my dream, the one that I told you about. He was at the parade, and he was here in my room.
Persian guy? Leather jacket? Did I tell you that?
No. You were taking pictures before you fainted.
I got your phone here. Cameras don't hallucinate. And that guy's staring right at you.
And finally, we decided to go away from the white hetero people that we've been doing.
Oh, they were as much all
as I
right.
much yep. as I enjoy
yep.
them,
yep.
we'll talk about somebody else. And this is genuinely one of my, because I don't have a lot of favorite pairs in sci-fi.
It's well,
sometimes
yeah.
sci-fi is a little rough with the romance. You're just like, yes. this is stupid or
yeah.
whatever.
And yeah, like the Fifth Element, you get just
oh
a lot
my god,
of
yeah,
problems.
Yeah, lots of problems. Yeah. Sometimes it's something that's sort of stuffed in because mm-hmm. they feel like they have to have it, but it doesn't really work.
And oftentimes the women are just devices. Or,
yeah, for yeah. sure. But we both watched Sense8, and we loved the Nomi Amanita pairing.
Loved Nomi and Amanita.
Yeah, a white trans woman mm-hmm. and a black cis lesbian woman.
Mm-hmm.
On the show. This is on the show. Although yeah. Jamie is a trans
yeah,
actress.
Yeah, so played by Jamie Clayton, yeah. who is a trans actress, and Freema
Agyeman.
I'm
yeah,
sorry, girl.
That's all right. Well, I knew Freema right away from her stint on Doctor Who as Dr. Martha Jones, and I was so happy to see her, because she wasn't one of the most popular sidekicks on
oh,
Doctor
really?
Who.
Oh,
racist.
Britain and their racism.
But I really I don't want to just say racism of Britain. It was a weird transitional time because they'd just gotten rid of a companion that was like the first one. Everybody thought she was the greatest.
Was it Billy Piper?
Yes.
So
and
no,
then
I
David
know
Tennant.
Nothing
yeah,
about
Chris
Doctor
Eccleston
Who,
was
I?
The first Doctor before David Tennant.
Okay.
And then David came in. He only did one season. And then David came in and replaced him. So David had 1 year with Billy. And then they tore them apart very dramatically, and everybody was very upset. And then Freema had the fun job of then stepping in.
That's tough.
It's tough.
That's tough, yeah.
But
yeah, tough.
She had a pretty good character. I thought it did. It also improved as the show went on. And they
sure.
did bring her back as well, even when other companions were there, which
okay.
was kind of fun, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was a fan of her, and I was thrilled that she netted this
yeah.
for herself. And what a role.
Oh, my God.
It was.
It's
the shit they did in the first season where she like broke into the hospital, setting off the fire alarm.
She's
to
Batman.
Get,
she
to,
is
yeah,
fully
she's,
Batman.
She's full, and she's not one of the Sensies.
No,
she's
but
just this woman.
Equally
who's,
one of the lead characters.
For sure.
Like,
yeah. And she's really the only character who was allowed to be in that group who wasn't, like, because the other ones, they had moms, they had brothers and stuff who
mm-hmm,
were nice people,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't in with the group.
Or really, like, never fully understood what was.
No,
what
or
the
even
sense,
knew.
Yeah.
Even knew.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, a lot of the characters don't tell anybody
no.
what is really happening to
I mean,
them.
Fair enough.
Because you'd sound like a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, and they set this gal up to be just, you know, sort of wacky and hippie and wild, and she believes her partner.
That's...
And then ends up really helping them, like, a lot of the time.
Hugely,
helping
yeah.
her mostly, but also helping the group, especially yeah. in the second season.
So there's a few things about this, like, individually that I appreciate. And one of the things is just that there's such love between them mm-hmm. and such support that there's never a moment where she's like, this is too much. Like, I don't believe you. I don't know what's happening. I can't see this sensate yeah. thing happening. This is too much. I can't handle this. She's always like, it's just this devotion and this.
And she's not jealous.
No, never like, why, you know,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Why are you paying attention to me?
Yeah. You're
whatever.
Not, I'm being
yeah.
left behind and these are your friends.
They basically avoid those huge stereotypes that you're
exactly.
just hoping are not going to come up.
Yeah.
And thank God they don't.
Yeah. And you just see this just love that exists between them that is so honest and just real. And she just jumps in to help, puts herself on the line. It's so incredible to see
yeah.
a queer relationship. It's not often that you see a really balanced relationship, a queer relationship, that there's no power imbalance. There's no
right.
There's not like the mentor and the mentee and
yeah.
like the older
or the
one,
older
who's
one and the younger
the
one.
The Eileen Wuornos and her Shelby. Like,
I love Eileen. What are you talking about?
She's a great queer.
She's a
character,
great lady, guys. She's a good lady.
She had okay. You know what? Some of those men probably. I'm not going to sit here defending Eileen Wuornos.
Eileen.
They're equals. And you really yeah. feel that there's never a power imbalance. There's never a struggle.
Now,
for...
let me ask you something.
Okay.
How common would a relationship like this be? Because I feel like it's uncommon.
Oh.
You think it's fairly common?
I don't. I have a different perspective, I think, on
well,
it. Like,
that's
I know
why I'm asking you about it.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's uncommon.
Yeah, because I think most of your straights watching the show
yeah.
would be, even if they're like open-minded,
right?
They would be confused because you'd be thinking incorrectly, but you'd be thinking, aren't most trans women attracted to men?
Right.
But that's not the case, because I think there are many, because I've seen many instances of, it doesn't always work, but like want to stay married to their wives.
Well, that's like Laverne Cox in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah,
her
yeah.
character on that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, this is not, this is like in documentaries and stuff.
Oh,
I've seen,
okay,
so
okay,
like
okay,
non-fictional
right,
characters, like
right.
actual people.
Right.
Interestingly, I think because women are a little more fluid, sometimes it works and they can yeah. actually stay in that relationship, but sometimes yeah. it doesn't.
No.
Because that's
no.
It's a big ad. It's a big...
On both sides. I mean,
yeah.
if you're watching your partner transition into essentially a new...
A different
body.
Yeah, a different body. It's the same person.
It's the same person.
But it's a lot,
that's
right?
A,
like
that's,
it's,
that's
and it's also the stress and the fear of like what could happen to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just this like surgically, but like in life. I'd always be thinking like, who's going to attack her today? Like, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like it's...
Well, it's a huge change in the relationship.
Because not everybody has the kind of transition that Jamie Clayton does. Sorry. Like Jamie... Transition successful. Like, I didn't even get it at first.
The clock that she was...
That she was a trans person. I did not see
yeah.
it. They have to, like, put it in your face. Like, one of the earlier episodes, they show some old, like... it's supposed to be, like a... What do you get when you get a police headshot?
A mugshot?
Like, a mugshot of
right.
her as a teenager. And I went, oh my God, that's you. That is you.
Right.
And
right.
it was a teenage boy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't her just made up. It was real.
It was
and
her,
that's when it clicked
yeah, yeah.
for, I was just like, holy shit.
Interesting. Okay.
And
yeah.
I think it's because they did something very smart, which they made her the unglamorous one.
How do you
because
mean?
Because Freema is always sort of, she's got nails and she's got her makeup
right.
and she's got her colorful hair. And Jamie, they leave very plain. Like,
yeah.
She barely has a stitch of makeup on.
Yeah.
She doesn't wear his. She wears like jeans and sneakers all the time.
Yeah.
And she doesn't force anything. She doesn't talk like this. Like, she just talks. And I mean, her voice does sound fairly feminine. It's just a low female voice.
Absolutely,
but to me,
yeah.
it doesn't have that bottom edge on it that a man's voice would have. But even though I think she's beautiful, and I don't think it would necessarily make it easier to to figure it out. But I think the more makeup you pile on, the more of a hint you're giving. Well,
you.
it looks yeah. draggish,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Freema's a little draggish on the show, so it's fine. But, I mean, Jamie's almost that close. Like, I mean, I've seen her, she's done, like, some modeling campaigns and stuff, and
yeah.
I'm sorry, you can't, you would, you, nobody
Never.
Would know.
No.
Nobody would know, but not all trans women are that lucky.
No, no.
Right, and they can't just mix into society.
And are just unclockable instantly.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, and that process takes a very long time and is very expensive.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Admittedly, they went with a white, very passable trans woman.
Well, but
she's incredible.
She's very good, and you know what else it is, too? I just thought of it. She doesn't have her lips plumped. She doesn't have huge tits.
Totally.
Like, she's
totally.
Very, it's very natural.
Yeah.
And that's another reason you don't look at her. Puts her in a very interesting position in society, I would say.
I'm absolutely sure it does. Yeah. But
yeah.
but also I think, you know, in terms of the Wachowski siblings.
Yes.
That going into
Wachowski.
That Wachowski.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
That's okay.
I'm gonna fuck that up again.
It's fine.
But in terms of you want to reach a wide audience, you want to make it palatable
yep.
for you know, Midwestern Americans
who aren't
maybe...
Well, I think you do
maybe...
want it to be a bit of a twist, too.
Well, like you want to be... But you do... I mean, I think...
They wanted people to find out like me. That's
right,
what I
exactly.
think. And go, oh
yeah.
my God,
yeah.
I never would have
exactly.
seen that.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
And been like,
and,
oh...
And, you know, that's... why not use somebody like that so that... I feel like it is a training wheel for people to start accepting people like that more because she's so easy to accept. It's pretty easy to swallow, right?
Oh, for sure.
And
yeah.
I mean, there were times, and the thing is, what's interesting, because I think she looks so good, the show sort of repeatedly reminds you about it, especially in season two.
Yeah.
Because I think I would forget. Like, that whole sequence in the first season, which was my favorite sequence, where she gets chased on the bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of the, but I 100% thought a little skinny girl was getting chased on a bicycle. Like, it never entered my mind that, like, not
yeah.
maybe it shouldn't, but I was just totally empathizing with her on a female side. I never thought of anything else.
Yeah.
Because it
yeah.
leaves your mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is what
And they, that's yeah. why I think they feel they have to bring it up once in a while.
Just to be like, oh, remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And it's because it is such a big part of her internal rhythm, obviously.
Of course,
so they,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
well, her family is horrific. Like, and that's what's interesting, too. Like, they make Amanita so loving and so smart and so open because her family is, you know, it's very hippie and kind of like,
mm-hmm.
but so loving.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, their special princess and all this, and they support her fully.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Nomi's side, you see... It's almost, to me, it's unbelievable to the other extreme. Like, I'm just like, really? It's, you're going to
be.
Oh,
I buy it.
I know it's real.
Yeah.
But to me, now, I do have to say, I'm not crazy about the woman that plays the mom.
No.
Only because when you spew out that kind of, I could see the hatred and this, but I couldn't see the agony underneath. And you've got to see that to have a waver of sympathy
yeah.
for the parent. And she didn't have it. She was this smug bitch.
She's just a Botox
And I'm just
monster.
Like, but it is your baby. Like, even if you're like, I hate what you stand for and I hate what you've done, you should be heartbroken.
Well, and she
it's
says...
it's still your kid. She says things, but she, you don't... I didn't buy it.
No, that's the thing. It's like in the hospital when Nomi's waiting to get this surgery
yeah.
That she never ends up getting. She says, you know, I'm just looking out for you and I know best. But
yeah.
you don't feel that. You
no.
just feel this kind
she
of
seems
hatred.
Seems like a full-on
like,
bad guy. Like,
yeah.
I didn't really... I wish there'd been a little gray area, speaking of gray area, with the
yeah.
mom, because I didn't get that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's your child. Like, I can't believe... And I'm not saying there aren't hateful parents. Like, that is not what I'm saying.
That exists.
But you've
got to
remember
yeah.
that I think under a lot of that Christian white hatred, there is agony. Because it's your baby.
It's
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it
like they're not happy about the situation, and this woman seemed all too happy to be a horrible bitch.
Oh, to be like, I'm gonna put you in your place.
Yeah, and I was just
yeah.
like, I don't know. There was something a little off about it to me.
If it's that extreme, would you even come to the hospital then?
And I,
like,
yeah,
there...
like I feel like part of it was the lady just wasn't quite the right actress for it because
yeah.
somebody could
yeah.
have given you a little flicker of something else.
Yeah.
Even if she'd been a little more ragey and scary, maybe that would have been something. But to just be this sort of calm, smug asshole, I was just like, you can't be calm about this.
No.
you're enraged by that. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't go for that. But they do set up Nomi's parents to be, like, the worst fucking people. The dad, interestingly, turns a bit near the end of the second series, which was kind of interesting to me.
Which I liked that. Yeah. Yeah. But it is...
But I was so distracted by your horrible bridesmaid's dress, I couldn't really watch what the dad was doing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that was funny, because I think everybody was like, oh my god, she's a trans woman, she gets to be a bridesmaid, she's gonna look so beautiful. And I'm like, that's the worst she's ever looked on this show. It was this, weird pink dress with, like, the weird sleeve going around. It was so funny, though. It was so funny.
It's,
because every other thing she wears, you're like, oh, she's so cute. She's little great. Pencil she's jeans. And then when she dresses up, you're like, oh my god, she's so, like, a Barbie doll, right?
Yeah.
And then you see her at the wedding, you're like, oh
there
god.
It is. Yeah. No one looks good in a bridesmaid dress. Yep. Well, true to form.
They're also terrible bridesmaids dresses. They're awful. Yeah. And all the women look terrible.
Another thing we talked about is, briefly before recording, was how there's a lot of what Nomi says that rings incredibly true about either seeing the world through one set of eyes but behind two faces, or kind of...
Right.
It seems a lot of it was very personal to Lily and Lana.
But I mean, and I think the first step to that, honestly, was The Matrix. I didn't think of it during The Matrix, but then when I found out about... It was just the one of them at first. Mm-hmm. And the other one went, that was very interesting to me as well. We won't get into that. But I was like, oh, of course. This is me in the real world. This is me how I want to be. Mm-hmm. This is The Matrix. This is the real thing. Like, and that they were all these, like, people who weren't accepted in society and all this. Like, I could... And I mean, it was written for straight characters.
Yes.
But...
Those ideas are
those
still
ideas
there.
Were there. They were there, especially that this is me with the mask, without the mask. Like, it was all of that. Like, this is how I want to be, mm-hmm. and this is me in the real world. Mm-hmm. Like, that really hit me when I found out what their whole thing was, and they were able to take that and literalize it further in Sense8, because they didn't have this whole, like, is it going to sell? Nobody's going to like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It just was what it was.
Well, they could just do whatever they want.
Exactly, yeah.
And I mean, there's no question that Nomi is the Neo character.
Yep.
Come on, right? She's this weird programmer. She does...
She's a hacktivist.
A hacker. Amanita kind of is, too. Like, she was doing some of that stuff, too, right?
She's... I'm not...
And they're
weirdo. She works at a bookstore. She's an activist. I'm not entirely sure.
Well, she was only working at the bookstore as a cover.
Right. But I'm not...
Because she was doing all the stuff with them.
Yeah.
She was doing the traffic... changing and stuff.
Yeah.
And then their male friend that
bug,
he just, to me, just right out of The Matrix, like, we need some weird guy, we're gonna call him Switch, like, or what, you know, some handle.
Yeah.
He was pretty good, actually.
He was good.
Yeah.
And it was nice to
and
see that whole, like...
And of course a guy likes that is just going to do a complete 180. He's just like, Michael, oh my god, wow, you're really hot now.
Yeah,
like, you just, like, and then he just got used to it and it was fine.
Yeah. Had one moment of, like, Michael, oh, Nomi, I'm sorry, Nomi.
Yeah.
But, like, didn't make a big deal out of it. Didn't be like, oh my god, you're a fucking chick now, man, holy shit.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a big deal, but it was actually pretty funny. Which I thought they lost a grip on a little bit in the second season. I thought a lot of the stuff they wanted to be funny wasn't.
Didn't quite play out.
But I mean, they got two pretty fun seasons, and now we're waiting for this 2-hour finale.
Yeah,
that's supposed
see
to
how
be
it
out
all
in
wraps
2018,
up.
June maybe. I'm not sure when it's coming out.
It's too bad. I think it's a really interesting.
Yeah, and they
concept.
Left it on a hell of a cliffhanger
Did
too.
It? Yeah.
So I'm glad they at least got that.
Yeah. Well, I think people would have rioted until they got at least some.
I can see
some finale.
I mean, the show looked almost unbelievably expensive because they insisted on going to every fucking country in the world to shoot this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think season two fell down a bit. Like, I was saying to Nancy before we started recording, I was like, okay, this is Reloaded.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, the bad guy says irrevocably, and I was like, oh my god. Don't start this.
No.
Don't start this.
No, girls. Ladies.
Yeah. Ladies.
Well, at that point, it was only Lana. Lily had...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Get control of your pink dreads.
Yeah.
And calm down. Don't write irrevocably.
Don't
have weird long sequences where nothing happens.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
save everything. Like, to me, the big chase near the end of season two, this is the highway scene in Reloaded. Why we all came to this movie.
Well,
it was the only good thing in it.
Yeah.
And I mean... it wasn't as bad as Reload. Like, Reloaded was a disappointment.
Was
this
real
bad. Wasn't that bad, but it did take a step down, and it was way too complicated.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, what the fuck is going on?
I
mean,
that's, and I found that in season one, too. It's hard to juggle eight characters that you're trying to
pass. I thought it maybe should have been, like, sent six.
That's exactly, the, yes.
Did you say
that's
that?
Exactly what I said.
I said that, I said that during the first season. I said that to a friend of mine. We were both watching it, and I was like, do you feel like this should have been, like, sent six?
It felt like
not sense eight, because yeah. It's a lot of plot lines. And I mean, most of them were very good.
Yeah.
But you do start to look, you're like, wait, who's the, what?
Why
who's
are
this?
We?
What is happening?
Who's who in the zoo? And,
but I mean, yeah. I thought these two ladies were no question kind of my lead.
They were
them
really what held it
the,
down.
And the Chinese girl.
Oh,
who was
Sun
like
Bok
a fucking superhero.
Oh, fuck, she's
like
good.
The new, speaking, she was like the physical new Neo.
Yeah.
And Nomi was like the intellectual.
The intellectual, yeah,
Neo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anita was Trinity. Oh my God.
She was a machine.
She was,
And she's such a tiny woman. That was what's so funny about it. And yet you bought it. You
oh,
were just
for
like,
sure.
I totally
fully.
Believe you just broke that man's back.
Yeah.
Even though you weighed 90 pounds.
It went,
like,
soaking
it was,
wet.
Yeah, yeah, so good.
And it's nice to see, like, especially in season one with Amanita and Nomi, there's a big thing in queer culture about our chosen families. You know, we have our,
sure.
our family families and our
yeah.
chosen families. And
yeah.
oftentimes, it's different now, but leading up to this, it's been the main support system for a lot of queer people is
yeah.
who they surround themselves with. And so it's, again, nice to see their chosen family really, like, just embrace them and just help them as much as they can when
yeah.
Nomi's real family just tries to Rosemary Kennedy her.
Yeah.
So.
And do you feel like, so I almost feel like trans people are now going through what gay people went through like 25 years ago. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
I'm not saying the
no.
gay struggle is over.
No, no.
But they're
no.
more.
But it
when
is.
When did Will and Grace first come on?
98.
This shit would not have flown 20 years ago. I'm telling you that right now.
Oh,
so that's kind of what
not.
I'm talking about.
To be sure, yeah.
Like,
but then in real, like you know, this will help,
yeah.
essentially. But there, I mean, even in Toronto in the past couple months, there's been...
Oh, yeah, they're getting murdered.
A lot of missing trans people who...
But that's what I'm saying. I feel like they're the new target.
I understand.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like,
yes,
yeah,
no,
like,
I understand.
I mean,
I think this ties into a quote that I shared with Jerrica and that I really love from the show, and it goes back to progress and coming, maybe meeting the ideas of the queer community. Nomi says to Leto in one scene in season one, "The real violence, the violence that I realized was unforgivable, is the violence that we do to ourselves when we are afraid to be who we really are." And that's, it's such a thesis for so many characters on those shows, and I think for Lana and Lily Wachowski as well, and for so many people, is just like, it's when you accept and take in what the outside world deems unacceptable about you, that's where there's so much harm that happens.
Absolutely.
And it's
and it is self-violence. It can turn into physical self-violence, but it's also just the crushing self-hatred.
Oh, I can speak to years being in the closet
and then
thinking as soon as I open that door, it's just gonna all be fine, and then you have to undo those years. The damage that's been done from those years that you've been lying to yourself and everyone else and trying to train yourself to be something different, and it's not a fucking choice.
No.
People.
Oh.
That's not what this is.
No.
So it's beautiful to see these incredibly strong, incredible women just owning their shit and
being heroes
and being fucking superheroes, like it's Batman and Nancy Drew coming together and like I just there were so many times when I
Nomi actually has a serious Nancy Drew look, and now I'm thinking about a whole new Nancy Drew with her
with Nomi
with Jamie Clayton.
That's
a hot Nancy Drew.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh.
And with that to think about,
I think should we say goodnight?
Should
and goodbye and good luck.
Happy Valentine's Day to all you sad, lonely Valentine's atheists out there.
Welcome to the party.
Just have a chocolate.
Maybe shoplift
sip some
something.
Tea.
Just to stick it to the man.
Now, Nancy,
I'm not
condoning advocate
shoplifting
unless it's really easy and you can just do it.
You know. Follow your bliss.
Follow
your
heart. If you end up in jail, though, it's on you.
Yeah, we are not liable.
You're not
for
liable
any
for
legal
that.
Fees,
do have a happy February. It's a short month,
mm-hmm.
and soon the sun will shine again.
We're all just waiting to thaw at this point.
And an LGBTQRSTWXYZ rainbow come out and shine light on us all, just like Nomi and Amanita.
Mwah.
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 Bye, everybody. See you next month.
So today, I'm marching for that part of me that was once too afraid to march. And for all the people who can't march, the people living lives like I did, today I march to remember that I'm not just a me, I'm also a we. And we march with pride.
Thank you for joining us again. And if you want to hear more, want to see more, want to just be more, check us out on Instagram at Popular Parallax, on Twitter at Pop Parallax, and on Facebook at Popular Parallax. If you want to check out some goodies, some merch, and stream all of our podcasts, you can go to popularparallax.wordpress.com. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.